Welcome to Annoying Sound Effects featuring James and Jay. Whee! Good dude.
Good guy. Good Toronto guy.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Good people.
Hey, smarten up.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man, James Tape Leg Grayling, and I will explain how pretty much everything happened since our last show. Everything from Jiggy's comments about the team's trip to Vegas, supposedly, all the way to Joe Sacco's departure, and everything else in between. We've got those topics and almost everything Avalanche coming at you in episode number 80 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. Episode number 80. I'm here with my man, James Tape Leg Grayling. James, hockey.
Hockey.
How you doing?
Hockey.
Not Avs hockey, but hockey.
Hockey.
It's a great time of year.
It's a great time of year. If this were a real season, we'd be like starting the third round, like halfway through the second round of the playoffs. As it stands, we're in the first round of the playoffs, and for some reason, the Avalanche haven't played a single playoff game yet.
We're still waiting.
I'm waiting for them to start their series against Phoenix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Should be a great series.
Going to be a great series.
We got the preview here for you, folks.
Yeah, here's the playoff series preview, and done.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Well broken down.
Episode 80.
So Avs not in the playoffs again. That's okay. We got you covered. We got your end of the year show.
We're going to talk about almost everything Avalanche.
Except for the playoffs. Yeah. So we got your back. Anything else?
Well, you sound so sad. You know, I'm...
I forgot what Avalanche playoff hockey felt like. I get jealous watching all this.
And yeah.
I mean, there's anything... There's nothing better than playoff overtime.
Blackhawks are on right now as we're recording this. There was a great playoff game with the Islanders just a little bit ago.
It's just good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love playoff hockey. You know,
Someday again.
One of the things like this season for me was like the end of the season came not quick enough in a way, considering what they were doing. Now watching, it's almost like I'm a little more relaxed watching these playoffs without the Avs because it's just before you were just waiting for the ball to drop. When are these guys going to? Yeah. I can't wait for the next loss or the next bad thing. And now, the playoffs have started. It's like, boy, I can sit back and just enjoy a game without, hating everything.
It's true.
And worrying all the time.
It's true, but I guess I've kind of gotten used to no playoff hockey, I guess, and I don't like that, but they'll be back sometime. Maybe a young defenseman is what they need. Maybe they have a shot at some defenseman.
Where do you find a young defenseman in this league?
I don't know. I don't know. You got to draft one, and maybe they can get one. Who knows?
Who knows?
Don't know.
Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 80 of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
80 episodes. We've done a ton together, too.
You've done a ton. I've done a smattering.
Didn't we ever figure out when we started this us
like
thing?
53 or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean, we've 54. The first one
that we did together at all was episode 41.
It was between seasons, but we were both on 41. Is that... That was the joint one with the rink. Right.
Yeah. So we've been
doing this for a while. A
little bit.
I like it.
A few days there.
That's what we do.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We tried to figure out exactly what we're going to do. We actually do plan this thing out.
Yeah, you should see our Google Doc that we share.
Pretty fantastic.
Jay makes this great Google Doc with all this stuff and then I read it 2 days before the show. Yep, I'm well prepared for nothing.
It works.
But the thing about this show is that like the minute we finish the show, we post the show, and then everything happened, and
that happens.
Why couldn't that have happened like a game before? Heck,
that'd have been great.
And we're gonna talk about. We gotta talk about. It. We're going to jump into games. We're going to talk about all the stuff. There's been more stuff happening
everything
since our last show.
Everything
happened. Then in like the last three seasons combined, been like nothing happening and it's all been slow.
That is absolutely true.
I think we got to get to the games and get to what's been going on.
April 8th, the Flames at the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. Brad Malone, congratulations, scores his first NHL goal.
Is he a defenseman?
But they need one. Gives the Avs, hang on, I got something for you.
Okay.
Gives the Avs a 1-0 lead in the second period, and then they lose 3-1 to a Flames team that had lost 13 straight road games. And then...
stealing.
At least at this point,
everything
happened. Now, that's going to happen throughout the show.
Right.
But everything
happened
here.
This was the catalyst. This was the thing where everything happened.
Oh... I'm not sure who quite broke it. Ryan from Rocks Hockey. Ryan from Mile High Hockey
on the Rocks.
Yes. Ryan Boulding.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguar tearing into the boys tonight says more guys are worried about their Vegas trip at the end of the season than the games at hand. And when asked if it was talent or attitude, he said it's not talent.
Nope.
And then everybody kind of went crazy and kind of went, whoa, because this usually doesn't happen.
No.
So Jiggy just lays it on the table and says that these guys are more worried about Vegas than they are about hockey right now.
And who's going to argue that? I mean, we've talked about the corporate face of, the corporate message of the Avs that nobody's going to say anything and everything's okay.
Fine. Everything's
couple bounces,
fine.
Little harder work down low. Would have had that
fine.
Game. Every game.
Yeah.
That they lost, they would have had it. Just a couple bounces. It's all good. And you know, obviously that wasn't the case. Obviously to everybody that wasn't the case. And finally, the guy who is the veteran presence. There's two guys who are veteran presence in that locker room. Hey Duke, who, you know, has always been quiet and not mm-hmm. really.
That's who Hey Duke is.
Yeah, he's not an outspoken leader guy.
Mm-mm.
And Jaguar. And if you are not going to listen to J.S. Jaguar, the guy who won a Stanley Cup, he won the Conn Smythe as a losing goaltender, carried the Ducks on his freaking back through the playoffs in 2003. If you aren't going to listen to him, go to Vegas, baby. Enjoy it.
There were some great tweets, by the way. Well done, those of you that had the Vegas tweets. I really didn't read a whole lot of bad ones, but
Las Vegas Avalanche.
The 2013 Colorado Avalanche, Vegas, baby. If Jaguar, as the proven leader, basically the veteran leader for mm-hmm. the Avalanche, I mean, he has to do this. That's the last resort, obviously.
Yeah.
He said he was embarrassed. The only way to get the guy's attention was to actually go through the press,
mm-hmm.
which very seldom happens.
Right.
I think if he was that wrong about doing that or his facts weren't correct or whatever, somebody would have said something somewhere, mm-hmm. somehow. Nobody argued with him. And they came out and played pretty well for most of the rest of the season. So it must have been your truth.
There are coaches in the NHL that resort to this kind of mm-hmm. talk all the time. John Tortorella is a good example, sure. I think. A guy who just always is, I was disappointed, I was angry, blah, blah, blah. I understand that you got to back your guys sometimes, and that looks like a lot of what Joe Sacco was doing for a long time. This is, you know, you say something like this, and you get people's attention when you don't say it very often and when you say it when you only need to. Yeah.
And I bet you it's something that he has said to the team as well at some mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form. Nobody took him seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was also a heat-of-the-moment type thing.
Yeah,
he'd never apologized for it, but he, I think in one way, shape, or form, he said he regretted having to do something like that, but he was angry after the game. He, you know, he's obviously one that doesn't hide his emotions mm-hmm. very well. You've seen him when he gives up goals. And...
oh, yeah, and over the years, I mean, I've been watching him over the years when he was with the Ducks, when he was with Toronto.
He's angry.
He's an emotional guy, and you know, he's that's fine. There's, you know, these sure. guys aren't robots. I don't. People kind of have this expectation of the way a player should act, even if one thing goes against another thing, even if, you know, whatever the balance is of a person, you know, you expect, people kind of expect these guys to be a certain personality. Yeah. Jaguar isn't, and that's fine, and I love it. But I have been, you know, I've been watching him since 2003. I'm sure people have been watching him since before that. But for me, it was, you know, I really, really liked the guy. You know, came to really be a fan of him and his style and his play in 2003. And I've never heard him say anything like that about any team. And he was on the Leafs.
Well,
I mean, come on.
Try and argue with me now.
Yeah, exactly. Let me put a button on it. He was with the Leafs.
And you know, it's something with that. He had to be right. I mean, he had to, if you're going to come out, even if you're angry after a game, you have to be right when it comes to something like that. And he was. Nobody argued. Nobody said, you know, that's not the case.
Right.
And there you have it.
There you go. And a couple of days later, no, the next day, I think, players were like, I fully support Shiger. He was right. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Now what? You know, because that's what's important. It's right. Not congratulations. You could lip service that kind of statement to death if you wanted. You could be like, oh, we support him and this and that. But you don't support somebody by saying you support somebody. You support what they did, what he said, by going out and winning a game, by changing your ways. That was the only response that there could have been that would have made anything different.
And I think they did. Mm-hmm. I think they went out, and like I said, I think most of the rest of the season, you can't expect them to play great every game. This is the Avalanche we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And they did. They came out and played better hockey. This actually ties right into another Phil Park question. So Philly the Fool on Twitter. Phil, thanks again for your questions. And, mm-hmm. and you know, we thought it would be good to answer yours right about now. Is the locker room divided right now? Not everyone pulling together to do what is necessary to win. This team is young, talented, but for whatever reason can't seem to play consistently. Hate to use this term, but is there an atmosphere of mediocre being allowed to swallow the team, starting with the front office, or is the front office working to stay under next few years' salary cap and trying to build a competitive team around the core players looking towards the future? I don't know if there's a true answer to this one, but from what I saw, those are the kind of statements that will divide the locker room. I didn't see it as divided. I didn't get that feel. I don't feel this team has a lot of issues with each other from what I've seen and what I've heard.
Right.
They all get along pretty well.
Which is, you know, considering the question of the divided locker room really came into play with O'Reilly. And then, of course, as O'Reilly came into, you know, as soon as O'Reilly came into the lineup, the team became mediocre or worse.
Yeah.
They were okay. They were NHL weighted 500. You know, they were 8-8-3 before O'Reilly, I believe it was, mm-hmm. which is, to me, I call it NHL weighted 500 because right. you still look, those three games at the in that are overtime losses are still losses. You just get the charity point for it.
Right.
Once he came back, what was his record when they came back?
8-17-4.
8-17-4 when he came back. So it's really easy to make that a scapegoat.
Well, I think I've tried to think from O'Reilly's perspective, too. Who knows mm-hmm. the dynamics behind it? But whenever he's back, you know, whatever the case may be, he obviously can't step right in and be like, hey, guys, come on, we need to do this, this, and this. I mean, right. it does create a division in the locker room, but it's not one that I think is going to win or lose you games. But I know he you know, how the season started for him, which was non-existent, yeah. it's going to be a little bit awkward either way for him to come back and try to be some kind of a leader or try to say, come on, guys, we've got to work harder.
Well, you've
so
got,
it creates that aspect.
He's 19 games behind everybody else mm-hmm. on the team who's already a step behind because they didn't have...
Because of the Avalanche.
Well, there's that.
Sorry.
But there's that they didn't have a training camp. Nobody had training camp.
Right.
So how you respond to that is going to be a huge factor. How many of the players actually played overseas? There were all kinds of factors this season.
It was weird to begin with. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very weird one. So it's hard to say yes, no. Obviously we don't get inside the locker room much. The person I would ask would be, Ryan Boulding, because he is in the locker room. Sometimes he sees it, but he also has that journalistic, you know, got to play that kind of game thing too, where there's so much you can say, so much you can't, blah, blah, blah.
Not non-snarky. It is the Avalanche and people are getting to know the Avalanche now as a team that doesn't say anything about anything. And, you know, since Joe Sacco was fired, you haven't heard word one from the Avalanche. He never even had, I don't believe, a press conference or anything like that.
No, there was a statement ended with, we have nothing more to say about this.
A lame statement, no questions, no nothing, and they, you know, we've waited a week since then. So you have that aspect too, where it's the Avalanche and it's a pretty weird season and all those things swirling around to create kind of the mess that is the organization, at least right now.
Right.
And by mess, I mean, look at the standings.
But let's take a look at, but think about it this way also, that of course the question was phrased in during the regular season as, is the locker room divided right now? Right now, of course, is that time frame has changed and we're now in the off season, but the question is who's going to be back and what does right now mean then? There could be some trades. There are only a couple of unrestricted free agents.
Yeah.
Hayduke being one, and people think that he's done anyways.
Right.
Chuck Kobusu, who, you know, okay. I mean, he's been a productive fourth liner. I really, he hasn't been bad.
No, he hasn't.
Uh, he's He's been better than some of the, you know, has he been better than John Mitchell? Sometimes, you know, has he been better than, words fail me, names, Jamie McGinn? Sometimes, you know, he's not great, but he is, but you know, you need a penalty killer. You need a guy that's going to forecheck hard down low.
He's going to work hard down low.
Dude, forecheck down hard down low even.
Ooh.
I know.
For the most part, what you see with this roster is what you're going to get. Most everybody you sign through next year.
Barring a trade or two, you know. But look at Shane O'Brien, who's been benched most of the season. Right. You know, he's got two more seasons at $2 million. Maybe somebody needs him.
Maybe, but very few teams looked for the second to last place team in the NHL for holes to fill. Whereas for the most part,
although you might find a few bargains there when you need to fill out a fourth line,
you might. But the guys that a lot of people keep bringing up that should be moved, which is just the natural progression of trades, get rid of so and so, insert a struggling player here.
Gotta have
it's not that easy.
Yeah,
and all of us wish it was. So there might be some buyouts. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
There could be some buyouts, an amnesty thing. Who wants to sign David Jones for a year for the next 3 years when he had 3 goals this year?
If he were a defenseman, the Leafs. But other than that, that's about it.
There you go.
Man, I'm busting on the Leafs pretty bad.
Well,
all right, I gotta make fun of the Red Wings.
We'll make fun of somebody else.
Okay.
So Phil, I wasn't really seeing a divided locker room. I didn't get that feel, and I also that's the Avalanche being the Avalanche.
I think if there was division, it was maybe doers and not doers, or, you know, I mean, obviously.
There's always division.
Yeah.
There's.
And the division was probably between the coach and the players because he'd lost the room. And if you have a guy like Shiger who has to say, we need to step up, and then the team actually does finally step up, obviously the coach saying we need to step up isn't doing the job anymore.
And I'm sure that's been said by Sacco in a lot of ways, shapes, and forms throughout the years he's been, you know, in Colorado, and that's the end of that story.
Yep. Eeyore.
Let's move on. We'll move quickly through the games.
Okay, so Jaguar says his thing, and then what happens next?
Then they come out and they play great. Paul against the Ducks.
The Ducks.
So Paul Stastny returns the lineup after missing 8 games. The Avalanche are better with him in the lineup. I don't care what anybody says. John Mitchell scores a little over a minute into the game. That's called starting the game on time. Thank you, John Mitchell. The Avs in the second period score an even strength of power play and a shorthanded goal. That's the first time they had done that for about 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And they take a 4-1 lead in the third and play a solid third. Good for Jiggy. And the Avalanche come out and play like you'd hope they would after Jiggy says what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Stastny's back, like I said. No one can tell me that the Avalanche are worse when he's in the lineup than when he's out. Mm-hmm. So there it is. And he's healthy most of the time. So what you got about Stastny, tape leg?
I was taking this class the other couple of weeks ago. It was hockey camp. These guys, the ice guys out at the ice ranch, ice. And
it's cold.
It was very cold.
Yes.
And we were working on all kinds of stuff, you know, passing, skating, blah, blah, blah. You know, when you're a scrub, it was all older people who sucked.
This is a puck.
Hi, this is a puck. Welcome to skates. So we're talking about passing, and one of the instructors said, hey, watch Paul Stastny. Watch, the one thing that he is really good at is catching pucks anywhere in his vicinity. If you pass it in his skates, he'll get it. If you pass it behind him, he'll get a stick on it. If you pass it outside of his reach, he'll handle it. The guy is, you know, for all the complaints about Stastny, one of the things to watch for is he sucks pucks onto his stick. And Dario, my teammate, Dario in Denver on Twitter, said that, like, the next game after that, oh my God, Stastny really is good at this. Yeah. And he was, like, all game getting pucks passed in his feet and would just, you know, slide the hand down on the stick and handle it and dig it right back out. Anywhere that puck was near him, he could dig the puck out. Yeah. So for all the complaints about Stastny, that's one of the things that, you know, when you go to the rink and you do, you know, obviously it's different with kids growing up in hockey systems and always playing hockey, coaches and stuff work on everything. But when you go to the rink for, like, let's say stick and puck time, you see guys practicing slap shots that can't skate. You see guys just doing shootout stuff. They don't work on their edges. This is something that you develop and not something that just comes naturally. And these, and you have to really want to. Yeah. And so somebody like Stastny, who always gets bid on for all the things that he doesn't do, watching what his strengths are kind of interesting. So.
And he's got them. They're mm-hmm. there. He's captain of Team USA in the World Championships. Not sure if that has to do with Sacco or whatever, but I mean, that's the guy can play.
Yeah.
And he's an NHL player,
mm-hmm.
as a lot of people would say. But I've enjoyed watching him. Lon Hejduk has a little of that in him as well, where he can handle puck wherever. You know, I saw Justin Bourne, one of Justin Bourne's columns that he wrote a while back. It was just about, get me the puck quickly. Mm-hmm. Don't try and take extra time and put it on my tape. Just get it to me. I'll handle it so I can get the shot off.
Right.
You know, if you can't get it to me in time, it doesn't matter how well I receive it. I can't get a shot off, whether the defender's going to be there, goalie's going to be in the right position. So little things like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when you got a player like Stastny, just get it to him quickly. He'll be able to handle it no matter where it is, and that creates extra opportunity.
The NHL player, their biggest strength is that they can do something quickly with the puck. It's because they have fast hands and they know how to catch it. And even if they don't catch it smoothly, they're going to do something with it to get it smoothly onto their stick, most likely.
So, and hopefully they have a guy on the other end that can pass the puck really hard to them, so mm-hmm. they've got extra time to do whatever they need to do.
Yep.
Hockey 101.
Hockey, baby.
Well, that might be 201.
Hockey!
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
April 11th, 2013. The Avs against the LA Kings in LA. Sammy Etokalio with his first NHL start.
How do you say that?
Etokalio.
Etokalio. How do you spell that? The number eight.
Eight dash and
then,
O.
And then a calico cat
mm-hmm.
with its tail, and, just but with a short tail.
Then you cross off the second C in calico. Bam. The Avalanche are down 2-0, 7:14 in. Outshot 15-4 in the first period. Patrick Bortolo scores his first NHL goal. You know what you should do is, I had a friend who wanted to order Patrick Bortolo's jersey.
Yeah.
The one that he scored his first NHL goal.
And by friend, do you mean yourself?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then they sold it, so that made me sad. So I just wanted to make that point. I was trying to get his first NHL goal jersey. So, Etokalio leaves the game in the third period. Everybody thought it might have been a knee injury or whatever. It was actually cramps. He had
cramps.
He had leg cramps.
So somebody said afterwards, some other player tweeted saying, oh, you better, you should do a beer and then water and then beer and then water and then beer. It's like, wait, I think he has a kidney stone or something. Is that
if he didn't have one, he'd have one after that.
The thing was, he couldn't get back up, and that was the weird part. And everybody was like, what?
It looked bad. Yeah, it did look bad. Like he caught his skate in a rut.
That happened to somebody else like last season, didn't it?
It happened actually not too long ago again, where somebody had.
Yeah.
Some leg cramps and I don't know.
They had cramps, they had to be helped out. I think that happened to Corey Schneider once too.
Yeah, it happens. You have to stay hydrated, kids.
Stay hydrated.
Jiggy helps the tired Avs team get a point. They lose in the shootout 3-2. Greg mm-hmm. Zanin led the Avalanche in shots in this game with 5.
I'm guessing they glanced off his butt while he was standing in front of the net, which you shouldn't be doing that because you're a defenseman.
That's right.
He
led the team in ice time this game too, but they had to do 5 defensemen most of the game because mm-hmm. Eric Johnson left early with a wrist injury.
Zanin good.
So good for the Avs. They got a point in this one. Mm-hmm. You know, losing's never good, but whatever. April 13th, and James is touching my iPad, and now he just broke it. And he's going to spit water all over everything. Nice work.
Wow.
Jeez, what did you want the thing to tell you to stop touching it, or what?
Welcome to the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for aggressive iPad touching.
Ooh. Jeez, don't hurt yourself in the
process.
Had
to break things up there a little.
April 13th, 2013, the Avalanche beat the Canucks at home. Jan Hayda scores the deciding goal. With 7.5 seconds left in the third period. So candidate for goal of the year, along with when you were there with Phil, with Duchesne with the overtime mm-hmm. winner. I'd say those are your two big goals of the year.
Yeah.
The Avalanche beat the Canucks for the first time in regulation since 2010. And the Canucks are 18-1-2 in their last 21 games against the Avalanche. So suck on that, Canucks.
Yeah. Big old one.
Suck.
Yeah, you wish.
You're not even going to make the playoffs.
Nope. Wait. Speaking of which,
Zach Parise just scored.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And the Wild are up 2-1.
Nice. Speaking of which, Luongo not doing so good in net for the Canucks. They're making a change in goaltending. Schneider's, we have Schneider's a genuine controversy. Thumbs up. Let's go.
And that's new? No, it's not new for Vancouver.
Sad story. I love that my favorite part about Luongo was saying this contract sucks. How much money are you going to earn?
He's just playing.
My contract sucks because I have to stay with a team that constantly makes the playoffs, and I'm so sad. Shut up.
Not a lot of sympathy. God. Not a lot at all.
Good on Twitter, bad on life. Absolutely. Go home. Thumbs up.
He's really good at Twitter, by the way.
Yeah. Strombone.
Strombone one. Outstanding stuff.
Yeah.
April 15th, the Avalanche play the Blue Jackets at Pepsi Center.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Mack, 2 goals. The Avalanche score a power play goal, 2:02 left, take a 3-2 lead, and then the wheels fall off. RJ Umberger scores 35 seconds. Yeah, whatever. Avalanche lose in overtime. Nick Foligno with a game winner.
And this was one game that could have helped shoehorn them really into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Blue Jackets, obviously not the Avs.
No.
And yet. We'll find out.
Yeah, there was a lot of
had a hand in that.
A lot of Blue Jackets fans for the Avalanche's last game of the year too. Mm. Also that day, Joe Sacco was named the 2013 U.S. Men's National Team head coach.
Little did he know,
he'd have more time than he thought.
He would have plenty of planning time.
That has already begun and didn't make much sense to those Avalanche fans.
Yeah, in fact, today
before
Avalanche win, Team USA won over Latvia. 4-1.
They won yesterday as well. Eric Johnson had 2 goals. What?
For Team USA, he had how many for the Avs?
I don't even need to finish the sentence.
Wow. What a stifling system he must live in here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
April 19th, the Avalanche play the Oilers at Pepsi Center. Mm-hmm. The Oil come in with a 6-game losing streak and crush the Avs 4-1.
4-1.
Early goal, Avs flat. That's the name of the Avalanche's style over the last couple years. Most likely. P.A. Parenteau with the lone Avalanche goal. April 21st, the Blues at the Avalanche. Avs win again, 5-3. Jamie McGinn, 2 goals, 1 assist. Jan Hayda, +4 on the year. I believe that's a season high.
Wow.
So, hi, Jan Hayda. Way to go. Hmm. I wanted to mention thank you, Avalanche organization, for upgrading our seats during the middle of this game. We went from our seats, which are up in 303, down to suite number 49 on club level. Mm-hmm. So, I thought that was pretty cool. So, thank you, Avalanche.
Nice. Was that the game that you got beer spilled on you, or...?
That was the game before, actually. Okay. And then there was some ugly stuff going on in our section the game before that. So I'm thinking that might have had a little something to do with it, just as far as
what was going on?
They didn't have an usher, and there's people coming down and sitting on each other's laps. And then the usher got on, the usher said, hey, you can't sit on somebody's lap. And then that person moved back a row, and then the row behind them, the guy was like, hey, do you have ticket stuff for that? Like, a guy was trying to play usher, and... Mm-hmm. It wasn't super ugly, but it was really annoying because the Avalanche were getting beat anyways against the Oilers on the 19th. So there you go. The Avs are 2-0 in their last two military appreciation nights. They should do that probably 30 times a year then. Military appreciation night again. Come on out and check it out. Let's see. April 23rd, the Avalanche at the Blues. Prior to the game, the Avalanche recalled Thomas Vinsur, the guy who was traded for Cameron Gaunce. At the trade deadline, defenseman Sean Sullivan and goaltender Calvin Pickard.
Mm-hmm.
Pickard. I think it is Pickard.
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 Yeah.
So there's that. The Avalanche lose. Blues actually secure a playoff spot, and Jay Bodemeester finally in the playoffs after 9 full NHL seasons.
Had to get traded to get there.
But that's all right.
To a contender.
He's in.
Yep.
That
matters.
That's right. April 26th, the Avalanche at the Coyotes, a back-and-forth game. The Avalanche win 5-4 in a shootout. Jiggy pulled his groin.
Yeah.
Late, so he was done for the year. Varley came in and got his first road win of the year. I believe he ended the season 114-2.
Can we talk about that road win for just a second?
Absolutely.
How many minutes did Varley play?
It was like 4.
Yeah.
And then overtime.
Yeah.
Win.
Yeah, it's like 9 minutes.
Doesn't matter.
Gets a win.
He didn't have a save in regulation, I don't believe. Winning. Who else are they going to give it to?
Varley didn't win on the road
the whole season until this
whole
game.
Season
until
this
the last
game.
Last road game of
and
year.
The only reason he won is because Jaguar got injured and handed him
winning.
Yeah
winning. God. Sorry. Matt Duchene, 3 assists. P.A. Parenteau, power play goal and assists. Nice. final game for the Coyotes in the desert, you believe?
It's hard to say. The every time another deal falls apart, somebody else crops up and they say, well, now this guy has a really good shot at it. The deals, essentially, somebody's going to really lose a lot of money, and there's a reason that the former owner claimed bankruptcy. It's ugly there.
Mm-hmm.
And any arena deal for a team that doesn't do great at the box office themselves, the team needs to manage the arena also. This is why the Florida Panthers are still there and why they do fine. And you never hear about them losing a ton of money, right, because they manage a busy arena also. Yeah, it's not hockey related revenue, but without the hockey team, you wouldn't have that deal. And that's kind of what the Phoenix Coyotes need. But then you look at jobbing.com arena, your home of the Phoenix Coyotes, and not much else. Not a lot else goes on there. You've got a competing arena right downtown in Phoenix where you're not going to Glendale. So how lucrative could it possibly be? Somebody's going to lose money. Either the city's going to lose money, the owner's going to lose money. It's a bad deal all around. I don't understand why anybody is still going after that team and the NHL just hasn't actually moved them yet.
I don't know.
So it might be, I would not be surprised if they limp along for one more year under NHL ownership, but I want to see it sold soon.
Yeah, I feel bad for the fans. That's got to be kind of a rough.
It's not the fans' fault.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just feel bad because there's nothing you can. I mean, what else can you do besides go and watch hockey and support your team?
If you put the Avalanche in Parker, Colorado, I probably wouldn't go. Yeah. And that's a similar situation. It's further out even than Parker. You are out there.
I've heard it's a great arena.
It's it's an NHL arena. Unless you're at the Islanders arena, at least for the next year or two or whatever it's going to be, or Joe Louis Arena, whatever, they're all very nice and fine and whatever. I haven't been to, I've been to 20 NHL arenas and only four of them, I guess, were, and that was, the old New Jersey Devils one.
Okay. Moved. Gone.
The Igloo. Gone.
Gone.
The Islanders. And the Red Wings. And, the Red Wings is not an awful arena, but, it's just not it's not accommodating to a modern crowd.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Which is why their crowds might be a little bit small.
You go to
the playoffs.
You go to a beer. You go to a game at an intermission. You can either get a beer or go to the bathroom. You can't do both. You don't have time if you're going to get back in time for the puck drop because the lines are so long. The facilities just aren't accommodating for a packed house. And they could pack a house.
Sure.
Even though it is in downtown Detroit, and downtown Detroit kind of sucks.
Right. Interesting.
A lot of nice people there. But, there are better arena. There are nicer arenas in the minors in some places.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So, anyways, that's
welcome to the ABS Financial Podcast. No, I appreciate that.
You're home for cha-ching.
For cash.
Or as they say on the TSN hot stove, coin.
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 A lot of coin.
Yes.
April 27th, last game of the year for the Avalanche. The Wild defeat the Avalanche 3-1. Ryan O'Reilly with a very pretty goal.
Yeah.
Decent effort. Large crowd. Kind of later arriving, but almost a sellout, it looked like. Wow. And they did the jerseys off their backs, and I didn't get a jersey, so I don't feel appreciated.
You poor thing. I'm really sorry about that.
No, you're not.
I know.
Okay. Wild score an empty net. Now, this is kind of a cool, this is kind of a really interesting scenario. The Wild score an empty net goal with 2.5 seconds left. Joe Sacco sends Milan Hayduk out to take the faceoff. Milan Hayduk's on a center, obviously. Matt Cullen kind of taps him on the shoulder. Brad Watson's kind of, chirping with Hayduk. And I think they kind of see the writing on the wall. And, you usually don't see that kind of stuff on the ice. You don't see opponents tapping each other, talking to each other, smiling with each other. They drop the puck. Hayduk picks it up, takes his glove off, picks it up, puts it back into his glove, and that was it. He hasn't announced anything, said he's still going to think about it, but to me that looked like that was the end of his career.
Yeah.
So I'd say I'd be actually pretty surprised if he's back next year for a whole lot of reasons, and we're going to miss him. He's been a great player for a long time. He's had a rough time the last couple of years.
Hockey, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Hockey essentially at some point usually ends in failure. It ends in your body breaking down. It ends in you getting tired. It ends in, that last bad goal, or whatnot. Look at Patrick Waugh, the last goal that was scored against him by an eventual Av is kind of the brightest point for a lot of Minnesota Wild fans. And that's how it goes.
I think it's harder to figure out maybe in hockey how exactly the whole season is going to play out.
Yeah.
And in basketball, it's the same. The Well, in baseball especially, though, too, is that the seasons are so long. I think you have a pretty good feel in and out. But in hockey, you can be a fourth-line player. You can play 8-9 minutes a game and still contribute and everything like that. So, I don't know.
If you're that type of player.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, Milan Hajduk has never been a fourth-line type player.
And he played on the first line that night, and he looked great. You know, he matches the talent that he plays with. And if nobody can get him the puck, he's obviously not going to be very good. So.
If the rest of his body were as good, were as solid as his hands are right now, he'd be Solani.
He's always going to have the hands.
He's always got hands. Yeah. It's just the rest of the body's not following. And, you know, that's the problem is that, or the problem is the reality is that a career ends and it doesn't always end in the prettiest of fashions. You don't always get to be Dave Anderchuk and hoist the cup and then retire. You don't always get to be Ray Bourque or Raymond Bourque.
Yeah.
But you do oftentimes these guys look for the next contract and it doesn't happen. Or, you know, who is it? Brian Rolston just retired after basically sitting the whole season. I think he got maybe one or two tryouts and he held on for the dream and it just wasn't going
to
happen.
I think Hajduk for the most part was able to go out on his own terms
for
the most part.
He was a healthy scratch a lot this season.
And it was after injuries too. So it might've been a little bit of both, but you know, heck, who gets to play 1,000 games in the NHL, you know, with the same franchise with, you know, he's had a great career. I don't think there's anything
to play 1,000 games in the NHL. I mean, there's
not many.
The average career, I don't know if this still holds true today. And obviously it's a long term thing, but 4 years is the average NHL career from the long term guys that you see all the time. Your Ginlas, you know, your Raymond Bourques that were 21 years.
Yagers,
22 years. Yeah. And then there's the guys who don't make, you know, who get 10 games a year, maybe. So, you know, I would be really surprised to see him back. Yeah.
Especially with what he did at the end of the game. I think, you know, if it was just real quiet and he just kind of did nothing, that's one thing. But, you know, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
And heck, I think we've been pretty spoiled to watch him all these years.
Mm-hmm.
He's been great.
Absolutely.
All right, so we have some running and depressing stats that might explain a little bit about.
So now, about ending on this note about a good player retiring and maybe and failure.
We love Milan Hajduk. Watch this. The stats guy on TSN's stat guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's TH2N stats guy on Twitter. He's the guy that actually puts together, I think, the stats for their broadcast, or he just comes in and starts naming stuff. Okay, so we've been talking about this, been keeping a running record. The Avalanche scored their first goal in 16 out of 48 games this season. So one out of every three games, they're scoring the first goal. His stats, how important is scoring first? The team that scores the first goal of the game has won, and this was on April 10th. So this might have changed just a little bit, but this is about right. They win 68.6% of the time during the season.
Wow.
The teams that lead after the first period win about 75% of the time. The teams that lead after two periods win 83% of the time.
Holy cow.
Uh-huh. And the teams that lead after the third period or overtime or shootout win 100% of the time.
Heyo.
Hello. Jeez. I was waiting to say that.
Good job.
But that really kind of explained a lot. And as the Avalanche give up early goals, as the Avalanche are not the first team to score in two out of three games so far this season, that explains a lot. What else? Pardon me. Lots of shots doesn't necessarily equal wins. Teams that outshoot their opponent only win 53% of the games that they play.
Right.
So there you go.
And yet there's the old adage, 100% of the shots you don't take, don't score.
They don't go in. Nope. No, they don't. And also as of April 10th, the Avalanche had the best home penalty kill in the NHL. And I don't think this changed, which was over 90%, and the worst road penalty kill at 68.5%. And then most shots, I believe this was either Eric Johnson led the league. I can't imagine there's too many more guys with this many shots. He had 64 shots on net this season and zero goals. So that's kind of a frustrating year for him, obviously. Mm-hmm. And also on April 15th, the stats guy also says the Avalanche get better as the game goes on. Their goal differential in the first period was minus 23, minus 11 in the second period, and plus 5 in the third.
What's that called?
That's not starting the game on time.
You know, I am not going to miss that phrase one damn
bit. You want to punch me in the face right now.
Oh, God. I want to reach through Twitter and punch you in the face. You're sitting right across the table.
You're going to have to get in line for that, sir. Yeah. So some really interesting stats that kind of explain exactly why just in general stats, why the Avalanche had the year that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Dater also, in his latest podcast, talked about the 22 U.S. hockey markets, and one of the team's ratings went down this season, and that was the Avalanche. And from what he knows, although the numbers can be twisted in a lot of different ways, about 16,000 households watch the Avalanche game per night.
That is not...
That's not a lot.
No.
No. So...
1,600? Or 16,000?
That's still not a lot.
16,000 is not... No. Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
We're dying on the vine here, Avs fans.
I know, please. That's,
you know, hey, whatever, fine. It's their... It's this is a business. The Avs have... They have circled the wagons. They have shut down the lines of communication.
You got to win. People will watch if you
win.
They
do, but also you also have to communicate. And you know, we have a GM right now still that doesn't communicate. Hopefully it won't last. That doesn't communicate at all with the fans. And this is a fan driven business, like it or not. They have to stop doing this.
From what I keep hearing, too, is that not even other GMs can get a hold of Greg Sherman.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any credible sources, but, you know, you have enough people hint at it.
The internet says. Internet sources say.
The internet's right.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. We'll continue to talk about this in the next couple minutes. April 28th, out of nowhere, I believe it was Monday morning.
I believe it was out of somewhere.
Joe Sacco was relieved of his coaching duties mm-hmm. as the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. 1 year left on his contract. Thank you for coming. And then a little later that morning, Eric Lacroix, the VP of hockey operations, wasn't clear at the beginning whether it was clear it wasn't going to be back, but he actually quit. So I was thinking either the next day, if Greg Sherman's going to go, probably going to be the next day, no other changes. So is it Joe Sacco's fault that this team has struggled for as long as they have?
One of them. I mean, you know, who was the last GM before?
Was
Sherman.
It Francois Jaguar?
Yeah. He got scapegoated a little bit on a couple of deals that everybody wanted to see. A couple of deals, the Ryan Smith deal, the Scott Hannon deal. Mm-hmm. People wanted to see him make a splash. Guess what he did? He made a splash. He got two guys that were essentially the third guy of their respective levels of free agents. Didn't break the bank, all these things, and it didn't work out. So he took the heat on that. A few other things didn't work out. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple.
Greg Sherman has been getting good draft picks and not a lot else. It's not the only trades that have really worked out or UFA signings have really worked out. Parento and McGinn. Mitchell, I guess. You know, you take some things that start to work out. You throw them in the pool and you see what swims. And if they don't swim, well, maybe it is the coach.
Maybe
he's not a good swimming coach.
We're going to find out. Maybe he can't swim himself.
I think that Greg Sherman should go. Mm-hmm. I think he should go because the team needs a culture change. But the Eric Lacroix part, that was interesting.
That was interesting.
You know, because that has been kind of a dividing line. That you hear about is that the president's son, you know, when he was in, you know, has been involved with the team in various ways. And it's the same thing, you know, like Boston Bruins, they have Gregory Campbell and his dad is NHL vice president of operations.
Something.
Some nice title. And that was one of the things that was kind of a, you know, for a while was, well, this guy's dad got him in the league. He played his way through it, and he's much more respected now than he was a couple of years ago. It also helps that his dad no longer hands out discipline.
That helps.
But Eric Lacroix was always one of those guys that, you know, was a dividing factor.
That's why I was curious as to whether he was fired or he quit. So obviously we're not going to hear anything. We're not, you know, the Avalanche. I mean, there's stuff that we just don't need to know and shouldn't know as fans. Just because of, you know, business is business.
Yeah.
But
or maybe simply put, he was asked to, you know, it was a mutual decision.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe the guy played how many 2 years plus a couple of games with the Avalanche, and you know, not to dig into it too much, but I believe it was Dater's book that talked about him being in the locker room and that it really wasn't welcomed.
It's kind of snitchy.
Yeah.
Well, whether he was a snitch or not, the potential was there.
You mean?
But you'd hope.
You mean Lacroix?
Yeah, hope he's professional enough to not, but you never know.
Well, I mean, you know what? If you were well liked, if your teammates were really liked you, that wouldn't come up at all anyway.
True.
I mean, other than whether it was true or not, if they were down with him being a teammate, they wouldn't. That wouldn't be an issue. Yep. That would never have come up, but it did. Yep. So obviously, it was an issue. And
so now it's time for rumors.
The door hit you.
Yeah, and now it's time for rumors. Yeah. Now it's what's the Elliot Friedman? He said what? Patrick Waugh, head coach.
Yeah,
Joe Sakic.
It was on. We can throw a link up, right?
We can do that.
Yeah, on TSN's Hot Stove this Saturday, I guess it was. They talk about the Avalanche and whether or not who was coming in, who wasn't. And they even say right then and there, you know, it's really hard to get news out of this organization.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're going to ask Joe Sakic to be a
John Elway.
Yeah, John Elway, yeah. Like president of operations. Really, that's a no-brainer. Right. I mean, why he wasn't before, at least, you know, being a better ambassador or bigger face. We've talked about it. I've talked about it more than anything. But so then Craig Billington, maybe moving under him, and then Craig Billington is good friends with Patrick Waugh, so would Waugh come coach. One of the things that they also said, which was really interesting, the Quebec Ramparts, which Waugh coaches, GMs, and has an ownership stake in.
He makes coin.
Second most profitable Canadian junior team, just behind the London Knights. And so
what was it? 10 million a year or something?
10
like
million
that?
A year. Wow. So their Quebec Ramparts are somewhere between them and whoever's number three. Yeah. He's doing fine. And whether or not that's a consideration, he could go and then retain his ownership stake. He could come back and fire the GM and coach because he's part owner and he could resume if he wanted.
Who knows?
Maybe he's just happy being home.
Yeah. And Adam Foote is another name that has come up as a potential assistant.
Yep.
So I don't know. We're not real into predictions here. We never have been.
Former players becoming coaches is great glory. You know, it's especially when things go poorly, but you still have to do on the strength of your coaching. Don't know. Yeah. And I don't know what Patrick Waugh's coaching style, standard, record, ability really is. But, you know, then again, there's your Adam Oates who come in to an organization, turn it around pretty, you know, struggle for a moment. He turned it around really fast. He made some choices and he stuck with them and it's worked out. But he's proving himself as a coach rather than just I was a player and therefore I should be given my shot at coaching.
I don't know. We'll find out sometime. The Avalanche haven't come out and said, hey, we're going to hire a new coach by this date or whatever. So I'm sure we'll find out here soon and we'll kind of hopefully go forward from there and the Avalanche start moving in a better direction. Speaking of moving in a better direction.
Well, what happened after that?
April 29th.
What happened April 29th?
Something good happened. Like something really worth celebrating, kind of, sort of.
Because, yeah?
I mean, being one of the lottery picks is never great news.
Was it your birthday? Did you get picked?
Go me. It's your birthday. The Avalanche win the draft lottery. Everybody else ended up right where they should have, except for the top two picks, the Avalanche with an 18.8% chance actually beat. They didn't beat them, but the Florida Panthers had a 25% chance. But they flip-flopped, and the Avalanche will have the first pick coming up in the draft June 30th at the Prudential Center, the previously mentioned Prudential Center.
In New Jersey.
Where the Devils play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say the Avalanche have to take...
Is that 2 years in a row that happened?
Yeah.
Because that happened with the Blue Jackets and the Oilers last year.
Flip-flop, yeah.
Nail Yakupov.
That's a cool hockey name.
Yeah.
So they got to take Seth Jones, no?
They need
a young defenseman. Look, hello.
If you walk into the room, let's say Pierre Lacroix, Joe Sakic, they're sitting in the boardroom. The scouts are all sitting there. And Greg Sherman walks in, slightly late, a little bit of donut powder on his chin.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, there's
an accident along the way.
There's traffic.
He's got a fresh cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee in his hand, which we are not sponsored by.
I forgot my way again.
Jeez, sorry, there was huge, lots of traffic. Big accident, rollover truck.
Polar bear.
I just made it here. Takes the cap off the coffee and it's steaming. Okay, I'm getting to the point here. He sits down and says, okay, let's talk about the draft.
Seth Jones.
I think we should trade our pick for two, see what we can get for our pick. the next words out of Pierre Lacroix's mouth had better be, "You're fired."
You can drive right back into that traffic jam, dude.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Number one, people say it's a deep draft. Whoopity freaking dude.
Don't care.
Are lots of deep. There are deep drafts where your second and third pick don't you know work out. You know where they don't play. There's times when your first pick doesn't work out, doesn't turn into what you thought.
There's times when the first pick gets traded to your team who didn't work out with the team he was originally traded first.
Angelo Esposito drops from what? Second position down to 20th.
Yeah, the second round, right?
Yeah. How about Eric Johnson? Yeah. He was slated to go number one. He went number one, and he didn't work out. But that's, you know, but you still got to take the best chance you got.
It's a gamble.
What do the Avs need? What do they need?
They need a defenseman.
Boom. Baby.
And the thing is that people keep talking about how this kid is the next Nick Lidstrom. Whoa. Can we slow down just a little bit?
Yeah.
But it's what the Avalanche need. This, you know, from, you know, everybody's going to say whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The kid can play.
Everybody needs a stud defenseman.
The kid better play.
A stud defenseman.
The Avalanche especially, because we've seen the defense. Matt Hunuk was your best defenseman.
I don't care. God, will you stop saying that?
He's wanted to punch me twice in the show now.
Ugh.
Yeah. See, I made him forget what the point he was going to bring up.
No, actually, you didn't.
Oh, then go.
Some of these guys, they have to develop. And, you know, the thing with this Seth kid is maybe he'll develop. You know, maybe they'll give him a little bit of minor league time to make the transition. Doubt it.
No.
But, you know, the question is, how is he going to develop? And we've seen it with, like, Matt Duchene, that the toolkit doesn't expand a whole heck of a lot when you don't develop. So you still have to pick him.
We're cautiously optimistic. Can we say that?
I'm very optimistic. Yeah. Here's what I think. Either they're going to, they're either going to draft Seth Jones, or the front office will be tarred and feathered. And whoever gets Seth Jones, if he works out well, whatever other team, there will be riots in the streets that will rival something.
Vancouver.
No, not that bad. No, Canadian hockey riots are the biggest hockey riots ever.
Those are awesome.
Oh, my God.
Everything else is just second.
We beat the Bruins in the first round of the playoffs. Riot!
Let's do it. Let's flip some cars
Maurice Rocket Richard is banned from the game. Riot!
So June 30th, we'll find out, but the Avalanche, they have the first pick. And again, it's not something like, yes, first pick. We sucked enough to get that done.
And hey, you know what? You know what I heard a lot of? You know what I heard a lot of? People who made fun of the Oilers for doing the exact same thing, shutting the heck up.
Yep. Yep.
You know, because I'm sorry that, you know, it's any team can tank, and the Avs certainly did.
And I hope for just, how about your and my sake, that this is a turning point in a better direction.
Urine. Don't pee in this.
Say urine. Speaking of, let's talk.
Let's transition.
There's
here.
Just a couple of things to talk about. One is fans that think that way, that really kind of started to bug me this year, that are rooting for the tank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hey, so my team's not going to win and not going to go to the playoffs. Why don't you suck harder than everybody else and I'll be happy at some point? I don't get that. I just don't understand.
I get it.
The more I heard from people, though, whereas even when the Avalanche are winning, so you'd really never want to watch your team win if they're not going to make the playoffs or go where you want them to. That's what you really want. You just want to watch your team lose over and over. I mean, isn't that kind of convenient? I don't know. And I guess I think more in the lines of maybe a player, in the fact that these guys aren't programmed to lose.
No,
they're just not. No matter how crappy they are, losing is not in their vocabulary. They're not going to go out there and not try. You know, I've already talked about it a lot anyways.
No, you're right.
They're not going to go out there and not try for somebody to come along and take their roster spot. These guys are fighting for their lives out there.
Yeah, and they're fighting for their next contract or not getting sent down. Yeah. There is somebody else in the wings.
Absolutely.
I
just don't get that.
I get it, because you want something out of it. And if the draft system weren't the way that it is, it wouldn't be the case. But what it is to me is cognitive dissonance. You're holding two thoughts in your head at the same time. I want these guys to lose. I'm tired of them sucking. So how do you do that at the same time? You can't, which just basically means you want the best for the team. And when you're out of the playoffs, that's the best you can hope for.
So suck worse than everybody else, and then I'll be happy.
Exactly. It's a crappy way of having to live your life.
It's weird.
Don't do it, people.
Please no.
Please just say no.
And while we're
don't make Nancy Reagan make a PSA about it.
Maybe that would work.
No.
Would that make some people happy?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Nothing makes people happy.
Twitter is a good example of that.
Boom.
The Avs Twitter feed.
Yeah, speaking as well. Of
Let's talk Twitter feed. But I think what this is it's the Avalanche. And I just want to thank everybody who chimed in on the Avalanche on the AHP Facebook page. Facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. Thanks for chiming in about what you thought of the Avalanche Twitter feed, because I think this is basically what the organization is. The organization, this is what they do. They share nothing. They share nothing. They're vague.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing worth anything. But then you watch like the Kings Twitter feed, the Blue Jackets Twitter feed, a couple of the Twitter feeds, and they do nothing but good for the organization.
They're fun. The Kings are a great example. They even troll a little bit, absolutely, which is kind of funny, but they don't troll like individual fans. They just, right, they go at, they'll make fun of the other team. They have, they get, people in to tweet on their account during a game. They had Will Wheaton in, mm-hmm, he was tweeting on the Kings feed. They just hand it over here. Have fun.
So much potential. They have over 100. The Avalanche have over 100,000 followers. So much potential there to do something worthwhile.
100,000 followers.
Almost 110, I think.
Almost 110,000 followers. Okay. How many people watch the games? How many people go to the games? That's roughly, let's say, 30,000 on a good day, maybe 35,000. Then, true, if the numbers that Data was putting out were the case, how do you get 110 Twitter followers but only have 35,000 people watching the games?
There you go.
Yeah,
that's tied all together. Now, you know, I called the Avalanche feed out last year for not following anybody, and I don't think they followed anybody for a really long time. But
no, they did for a moment.
They did listen, but I'm, mm-hmm, trying to think. You know, is it? I'm starting to think it's not actually not the person that runs the Twitter account. It's the organization. Mm-hmm. Just not seeing the potential there at all. There's really nothing terrible that can come out of making your Twitter feed great. You know, there's only positive. It's free. People are going to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's literally tens of millions of people on Twitter already. Why not make it entertaining? Why not give some behind the scenes stuff? Why not do something that helps people when they hit the follow button, be like, hey, I'm glad that I follow the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. But they don't.
The only thing that I get out of the Avs games or the Avs feed is when there's a game, they're usually first to announce a goal.
Right.
Sometimes a penalty. That's about it.
And that's why I don't do it on my own feed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I very rarely watch the games live anyways, just with my family. But it could be more. And even the in-game experience could be a little bit better, too. But I think hockey's a little bit of a different game when it comes to that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of work to do, I think, in a lot of different aspects of the Avalanche organization, and Twitter's one of them.
I think there's a – I don't know. Here's the thought that just popped in my head. And if – this is a team that was led by Joe Sakic for a long time, and he was a quiet guy, but maybe that's part of the culture that they wanted to have. But quiet doesn't necessarily mean fan unfriendly. That doesn't mean standoffish. That doesn't mean not doing things with for fans. It just means, you know, that for him it meant lead by example. You know, it's okay to be and you can be nervous in front of the media or whatever, blah blah blah. But you know, this is a hockey team, and every hockey team is a media company. Like it or not, even if your games are broadcast by an outside company like Fox Sports or whatever, this is your media company. Make media and be fan friendly, because the fans are the ones who have to, you know, who have to handle it.
They have an opportunity to make it better, and I hope they take advantage of it one way or another. But you know, even fan appreciation night, although I was joking that I didn't get a jersey, there really wasn't much going on. There wasn't much to it.
And hey, Avalanche fans, find Bernie and say spay and neuter your pets, and you'll get a free signed puck by Aaron Paluscia.
Let Bernie pee on your leg. And I don't know. From what I've said on a lot of different levels is that I think the team has a lot of work to do, and I'm hoping that they're thinking about all those improvements during this offseason.
I don't think you're going to see any change in the media outlet until Pierre Lacroix goes.
Yeah.
Because obviously the Kroenke sports or whatnot, they're much more visible with the Nuggets than anything else, but they are visible. So it's not a matter of Kroenke per se.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're great about it. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, but there is a big improvement with the net.
Well, that's where I start thinking that it's not Kroenke. It's something within the Avalanche organization that has told them to be super quiet about things too, because the Nuggets Twitter account is, I think, has comparable. I think they might have 160,000 followers, but much more in-game entertainment, much more, you know, it's not like the Kings or the, or whatever, but a lot more worth following. A lot more when you hit that follow button, you're glad you did, you know? And it's just one of those things where I see the potential and it sure can't hurt. Why not take advantage of a free tool that a lot of people are there already? And it's, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of just stuff like links to the site, big deal, you know, I'll go to the site if I need that stuff. So,
yeah.
So there we go.
There you go. Standing up. Sorry. I just been right sitting on this yoga ball for a little too long.
That's all right.
I wasn't doing it to like lord over this stuff. Like, ooh, my domain of podcasting. Welcome to Tape Leg Studios. My domain of podcasting.
Shut your mouth. All right. Hey. I think
so that's kind of the wrap up of the season.
That's about it. I mean, we got Seth Jones to look forward to, hopefully, and hopefully some offseason moves somehow, some way. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I have this, you know, my prevailing feeling about this season has just been kind of,
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that good.
It wasn't that
bad. It wasn't good. Yeah. It was that bad. It actually really was that bad. And again, we've seen that the stats of the team, the stats of, you know, when you see things like, you know, this person led the team with 15 goals, you're just like, oh, really? That's it? Because you look around the rest of the league and that's nowhere near the top. And we're talking about these, about some of the talent here, like it's unbelievable talent. Okay, when's it going to break out?
Yikes. Hopefully soon.
Well, a lot of these guys, you know, the people that we're excited about, the Landis Cogs, the Duchesnes, you know, obviously whoever they pick as the first overall coming up, have been in the Sacco system. Have been toiling under Sacco, and that's the best way I could put it. It's just
toiling.
Very close
to toilet.
Now we're going to find out what happens with somebody else, and we're going to find out if there really was a coaching issue, and maybe there's a coaching issue. Maybe again, as I keep bringing up ad nauseum, that there's a culture issue. Maybe there are a few player issues. And we're going to see the results of at least one change.
Shortly. And if they go outside the organization, that's going to say one thing. They continue to stay within the organization. Now, I don't know where Patrick Waugh falls in there. I would say Patrick Waugh is a little bit more outside.
He's outside the organization yeah. for sure.
If they bring in somebody, if they bring up somebody some way, somehow, you know, maybe the Lake Erie dude, I don't know. That's going to rub off on fans in a particular way as well.
If you hired Curtis Lecision to be head coach, it would be outside the organization.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Is he interested?
I hope so. He's got to be better than Sacco.
Who knows?
Ouch.
So there it is.
Lecision.
You can't argue with that.
Make the right decision with Lecision.
Can I buy a vowel? All right. Well,
I'm not proud of myself for that one.
That's okay. Hey, speaking of not proud, the Avalanche have 99 problems and they're picking one.
They're picking another problem?
They're picking the first. 99 problems, but their pick ain't one.
Oh, I like that one better.
Yeah, you like that one better?
Yeah.
They're, like I said on Twitter, they're both terrible,
yeah.
But the second one's less terrible.
I found my wallet in El Segundo. It was just over there.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was eating at a burger joint, and I left it at a table.
Right there. And before you know it, I hear it on the radio. They made a song about it. No. Are you ready for the spiel?
God, do I have to do the spiel again?
Can you spiel me?
I always do the spiel.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to do the spiel. I love doing
Chris Spielman.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com.
That was loud.
Thank you. Like, we're going to post this episode up there. You know, you might get it on iTunes. If you don't, you can go there and subscribe in iTunes. We're going to put the episode up, and there's going to be like a place where you can like make comments and stuff. Oh my goodness. We had 6 comments on our last episode. Look at that. That's awesome.
We did.
And for podcasts, I think that's pretty good. For us, that's great. you can see that there are curse word shirts. And you know what? I never got those ear hole shirts done for this season.
We always have something to look forward to.
There's links to the Facebook fan page, which is at facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. And there's a link to Jay's Twitter account, Avs Podcast. he hacked off those extraneous three letters
because
it never made sense.
Yeah, you could have told me that a long
time ago. There's links to other stuff, and we have a phone number, 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-RINK. Call us. Let us know what you thought about the end of the season. We want to know if you think we're right, wrong, incredibly ignorant, silly, whatever.
All the above.
And what you thought about the way that the Avs, how they ended the season, and what you're looking forward to coming up. My blog is jerseysandhockeylove.com, and you can hit me up on Twitter also at tapeleg, TAPELEG.
So there's a season.
There's a season.
That it was the hockey season.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looked
like a Rocky season.
We've had a lot of fun this season. We really appreciate everybody that has interacted with us, followed us, lurked.
Lingered.
And any support you're giving us, we really appreciate it. It's plenty of attention to help us keep doing what we're doing. And we're Avalanche fans just like you. We just want to help out in any way we can. And hopefully we've done that for you this year. With the follows, with the likes, with the comments, with everything you give us, we really do appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. And even if the Avalanche were doing better, I'm sure it'd be easier to get people involved. But even as the Avalanche struggle and there's not much to be fired up about, you guys have always been there. So thanks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is year, let's see, I started this in 07, 08. So mm-hmm. I think this was year seven you and I were kind of podcasting even before podcasting was anywhere cool, because it's so cool now. Everybody wants to do it.
Everybody's jumping on this podcasting bandwagon.
Yeah, we're old geezers when it comes to this, so get off our lawn. But
I'm going to buy a lawn just to tell you to get off it.
We'll be back. James and I have a great time doing the show, mm-hmm. and we'll come at you during this summer. I don't know, probably after free agency.
We always get a little excited about the upcoming podcasting season. Also, we start thinking about like how can we make this one better than last time.
If you have any suggestions, again, just contact us all those different places that James just mentioned. And mm-hmm. Let us know. We're always interested in making things better. Better mm-hmm. T-shirts, better product, better everything.
Just better, and more fun. Because, you can go anywhere and get the anger, the snap judgments. And we really like to be able to take our time, think it through, and talk with you about it rather than just, flying off the handle at a moment's notice. This is a fun show for me to do. It's a fun show for Jay to do. And, I'm happy that Jay invited me on board to do it because, where else would I get a chance to touch iPads? There you go.
Thanks for not knocking it over this time.
There's a reason that you have an OtterBox.
I appreciate that. It's James proof. So let's just put it this way. When we have enough, material to make another show, we'll make it. Whether it's just preseason or whether it's after free agency, whatever.
Yeah.
When we have enough stuff to bring you a preseason show, we'll let you know on all those different places it'll be coming at you. And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
James, what's a fancy show business word? Is it just that's a wrap?
That's a wrap.
That is a wrap. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you
for everything.
Hey, it was a great season. Thanks for doing it.
And again, thank you all out there. And we'll be coming at you soon. So until then, please let us know what you think and how you can help us out. And we'll go from there. But until then, as always, it doesn't matter whether they're in the playoffs or not. We're always thinking this way. Take care. Let's go Avs. And James and I will see you next season on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
It is required by law that you leave a wallet behind. Now, you can do one of two things. Here, I'll turn that down for you. You can do one of two things. You can either buy a wallet. You can do one of three things.
Okay.
You can leave your wallet.
Okay.
Okay.
What?
You can leave your wallet.
You have to buy it first, so it is yours, technically.
You can leave your wallet.
Okay.
Okay. You can buy another wallet, which would technically be your wallet. Also, it'd be another wallet.
But as long as you had the receipt.
That one behind.
You'd have to have the receipt.
Well,
but it might be in the wallet.
No, this was actually debated in a court of law. It was Abercrombie versus Toomey and whether or not a receipt was necessary.
I left a wallet in
L6. Well, okay. Over the third one, you can steal somebody else's wallet and leave it.
No.
Yes.
It's not yours, though.
No, it doesn't matter. The dude was not saying that by law I had to leave my wallet in El Segundo. He said, I left my wallet in El Segundo. You have to leave a wallet behind in El Segundo. That's the city charter.
Right.
Right. But right. He actually left his wallet behind. What he was really singing about was that rather than he forgot to buy another wallet to leave behind, and it was rather inconvenient for him.
How are you supposed to buy another wallet if you don't have your wallet?
You do it on your way to El Segundo. There are a bunch of kiosks, like rolling kiosks, of wallet salesmen, roving wallet salesmen. Sometimes, you know, dollar stores around El Segundo have it. And, you know, you're leaving your wallet in El Segundo. If you buy one once you get there, it's okay, but the price is a little more jacked up. It's kind of like going to Disney World. Somebody needs sporting sunscreen. Event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $20.
Yeah, exactly. It's like beer at the Pepsi Center.
What if you're not a Tribe Called Quest fan? Is everybody just confused? Like, what the hell's up with the wallets?
Sir, did you not listen to a Tribe Called Quest? Hello? I don't even know who Tribe Called Quest is. Sir, ignorance,
I don't care.
Ignorance of the law does not preclude you.
There you go.
From
all right, you should be a lawyer. You should be a lawyer in El Segundo.
I got my law degree in El Segundo.